to trade snacks with a stranger.
Is that a poison apple?
No, it's a wish apple.
Yeah, if your wish is to be full of poison.
Shut up. Want it?
Good choice, kid. Wonderful halos. Sweet, seedless, easy peel.
All right, we're good to go now, I think. Let's just wait a second here for give me a second. There we go. Yeah, just right there. Just leave it there. Perfect. Nope. Go to the blank one. The next one. Perfect. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. All right, I wanted to show you guys that commercial today because I think that the creators of Halos may have stumbled upon a biblical truth, unwittingly, I'm sure. And this is the matter of fact. There's a choice. There's life on the one hand, and there is certain death on the other. There stands the girl walking through the dark forest. She might be Snow White, who knows? And she's got her halo. She can choose, stick with what she's got, or go for the poisoned apple. Music gets more intense. And it cuts to the scene of the witch being thrown into jail. She's enjoying her halo. And just to keep it light, the narrator says, "Good choice, kid. Good choice, kid." As if it was really a choice, though, right? Come on, guys. I mean, the apple was obviously poisoned. It incriminated itself, right? What would you do in that situation? You choose the tangerine, right? You choose life. You stick with what you've got. This is a story, guys, that we find repeated throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture. It's a tragic story. It's a beautiful story about life and death, about common sense, you might say. So here's a thought. If you've got young kids out there, if you've got grandkids, or if one day you'll ever see a young kid, try telling them the story of Adam and Eve. The story of creation and the fall. Do this as kind of like a psychological experiment, maybe. Don't worry, it's ethical, I promise. See how they react to it. Tell them the story like this. Okay, so God made everything. He made the earth, he made the sun, the moon, the stars, all that stuff. He made the sea. He made plants, animals, birds, fish. He made people. He made a man named Adam and a woman named Eve, and he loved them so much. He put them in this garden in which they had everything they could possibly ever want or need. And this is what he said to them. "Hey, guys, this place is great. Eat all of the fruit, eat all the vegetables, all the stuff that you might need. Take. And you can live forever here, too. It'll be great. But there's this tree in the middle, right? I don't want you to eat any of the fruit off of that tree. Don't do that. Because if you do, you'll ruin everything. You'll ruin all the good, all the fun that I have for you, and you'll die as well. So don't do that, guys. All right, have fun. I love you guys. See you later." Everything's good. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And then this serpent comes along, and he says, "Hey, guys, I think you actually should eat from that tree, which God told you not to eat from. I think that's actually a good idea. Want to trade snacks with a stranger?" Kind of that idea going on here. And so stop the story there when you're telling your kids. Stop the story and say, "How do you think it's going to end? What do you think's going to happen? What are they going to do?" Now, if they say Adam and Eve will eat the fruit, then they're probably cheating because they've already heard the story before, or they just know a whole lot more about human nature than I'm giving them credit for. I think that the kids will say something like, "No! They don't eat the fruit. They say no to that serpent, and then they tell on that serpent to God. God beats up the serpent, and everybody lives happily ever after. That's the way the story's supposed to end, right?" So imagine their shock. Imagine the scandal when they hear the truth about how how it all ends.
No! That's not the way that it's supposed to end. Why would they do that? Why would they take the fruit? When you take the fruit, you die. It ruins everything. Why?
Unbelievable. Inexplicable. We can't answer why on earth they did it. But that's what happened. That's the way it goes. It's the story, the sad story of common sense, of life and death. And it's the same story that we find in our Bible reading in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, kids out there, I want you to listen up because I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm guessing you haven't heard this one yet. I'm going to ask you how you think it's going to end at the end, and I actually want you to respond. We'll see if this works or not. Story goes like this. Moses is about, well, he's coming to the end of his life. He's taken the people of Israel out of Egypt. By the power of God, he's rescued them from slavery. And God has given them some commands, some rules to follow, some things that they should do. Many, many pages in the Bible are about these rules, but I'll summarize it with the Ten Commandments. They go something like this. God says to them, I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. You don't need to worship other gods because I've got it all under control. My name is powerful. Use it. Call upon me when you need it and I'll be there. Let's all get together one day a week. On that day, we'll rest and I'll be the one who serves you. I'll do the work. I've put people up in authority over you. Listen to them because they've got your best interests in mind. Don't kill. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Nope, don't steal. Don't lie. And be content with what you've got. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never hurt you. And if you live like this, everything will be wonderful. Everything will be beautiful. Everything will be good. But if you don't, you'll ruin everything. It'll all go bad. And there'll be death. And so this is Moses here, talking to his people, his last kind of chance. I've got life for you on one hand and death on the other. Life, good, and blessing, or death, evil, and curses. And you can almost hear him begging, please, guys, choose life. Choose life. There's the question. Why is Moses begging? Isn't this kind of a no-brainer, guys? I mean, you've got life on the one hand, and you've got death on the other hand. So kids, what do you choose? Do you choose life or do you choose death? Life? Is that what you choose? Is that the way the story should end? Yeah. That's the way we think it would end. It makes sense. It's the way the story's supposed to go. And yet I think Moses realizes in all this, Moses is begging because he knows that this is not as much of a no-brainer question, no-brainer choice, as we might think it is. Moses has heard the story of Adam and Eve. I mean, he wrote the book for crying out loud. Moses has seen the people of Israel reject a God who loved them. He's seen it. He knows that this is not just as simple as comparing apples and oranges, because in this case, contrary to the commercial that we just saw, the apple doesn't broadcast that it's poisoned. It's not so obvious. Think about Adam and Eve. The serpent didn't come and say, hey guys, I think you should eat this apple because it will kill you. No. He says, I think you guys should eat this apple because it looks great. It's delicious. It'll be sweet. It'll make you smarter, make you wiser. This apple is real life. And so they give in to temptation. Tragically, they choose death because death looked better to them than life. And really, this is the same story for us. It's the same thing between choosing life and death, the temptations that we face, the choices that we made.
only maybe the difference is that it's not so obvious as well, right? It doesn't come with the drama of the Halos commercial. It doesn't come necessarily with the spiritual gravity of Moses talking to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's subtle. It's the choices that we make from day to day, multiple times a day, right? It could be as simple as a word or a glance, a silence, or a sigh, a click, a touch, a choice. So easily and so often we are distracted and attracted by the death that is all around us, the choices of death that are all around us. So often we drop the good, the life, the blessings that God has for us, and we clutch that poison apple. But that's the thing. The apple doesn't look full of poison, does it? No. It looks beautiful. It looks good, and it has promises, right? It promises to be everything that you'd ever want, everything that you could possibly need. It promises life itself. It looks like, maybe, for you, a party full of laughing people. Maybe it looks like your desires being met. Maybe it looks like security for the future, a remedy for loneliness, an escape from shame. It looks like more prestige. It looks like people finally accepting you for who you are. Like a chance for you to feel good about yourself, finally. And so when we see this stuff, we start to wonder if that life that God has really been talking about is all that it's cracked up to be. Does God really love me? Does God really want what is best for me? Or is he just trying to keep me from having my fun? Is he just trying to keep me from living life the best way? The way that I'd like to. And so because the apple looks delicious and beautiful, we take and we trade. We trade down. We trade our life for death. And it's not just this stuff, guys. It's not just the death that we choose day to day. It's more than that, because God will let us choose death forever. Eternal death. Right? That's basically hell. He's not going to force anybody to choose life. He'll let you have your way forever if that's what you want. This is what Moses knows about people. That we have the inborn sinful nature to trade our life for death. And so he pleads, choose life. For heaven's sakes, choose life, guys. God knows as well. God knows the condition of his people. He sees us struggling with our human sinful nature. He knows that we choose death over life all the time. But the good news, guys, the good news is that he does something about it. He doesn't leave us in death. I've been telling you these stories, and they're a story that runs throughout Scripture, but I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that this is the story of Scripture, because the story of the Bible is a story about death going to life. It's not really a story about choice. It's a story about God taking dead things, dead people, and making them alive again. You've got to read Deuteronomy 30 in the context of this, because this is what God does all the time. He chooses life. Start with Abraham. Abraham was in this foreign country, and God calls him out and says, I want you to be my person. I want you to go over to this land. You're gonna give birth to my people. They're gonna come from you. Now, he didn't choose Abraham because Abraham was an upstanding man or because Abraham had somehow chosen life. He chose Abraham. He chose life for Abraham. Abraham was worshiping other gods in that foreign land. He might as well have been dead. But this is how God works. He chooses life. He makes dead people alive. The people of Israel, right? Stuck in slavery in Egypt. For all intents and purposes, they might as well have been dead. But God sends Moses. He calls them out of Egypt. You're not going to be dead anymore, guys. I'm getting you out of here. You can stay behind if you want, but that would be silly. Don't do that. That makes no sense. And so he rescues them. Death to life. Sure, things go bad. Sure, they reject that life. Many times. There's that whole golden calf incident where they make an idol and worship it, breaking rule number one. But even there, it doesn't end in death for them because God chooses life for them again. He renews his covenant. All throughout history, we see this. God's people do whatever's right in their own eyes, forsake him, death comes on the land. But it doesn't stay that way. He raises up heroes to save the people from the nations around them that are battling them and oppressing them. Kings go bad. The power goes to their head. Death comes upon the land. God raises up new kings who lead the people back to God. Life. The people forsake the prophets, forsake the word of God, don't listen to them. God sends them off into exile. That's death. But by the decree of a king of Babylon who heard from God, they're allowed to go back home to rebuild. This is God's work. It always goes from death to life. And now let's get personal, because the point of this all was not a history lesson for you, but the point is to show you that this is your story too. It's about you. It's about when God's plan comes into reality. All this is just a foreshadowing of what God will do in Jesus. Because when God sends Jesus, that's him saying, I choose life for everyone once and for all. For all time. So when Jesus comes, now every time that you gave in, every time that you chose death instead of life, every word, every glance, every silence, every sigh, every click, every touch, every choice for death, it's wiped away. It's taken away. It's not here anymore. And God says, never mind that. I have chosen life for you. Have another chance. And the crazy thing about that all is that it doesn't necessarily look the way we might expect. It doesn't look as pretty as we might think. Actually, it looks ugly. It looks like poison itself. And when you see the life that God has come to give, you're going to be surprised. But should we be? Death came cloaked in beauty. So should we be surprised when life comes looking maybe not as we imagined? Because this is the life that God chose for you. It's the man, the perfect man and the true God, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross for you. That is where God says, I choose life for you. There he was broken and bloodied, alone and ashamed. There he had nothing but death and evil and curses. Even hell itself was upon him. There the wrath of God is upon him. As he suffers and dies, a death that rightfully you chose, a death that belonged to you. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of him dying, the craziest part of it, in my opinion, is that he speaks words of life out of death. People are nailing his hands to a cross, nailing his feet to a cross, and he speaks words to these people who put him there in the first place, to the people who he loves, to you and to me. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In other words, Father, these people have chosen death for themselves. They've fallen. They're misguided. They need the life that I've come to bring. I choose life for them. That's what the cross is, guys. That's what the whole message is. It's the moment where Jesus says, I choose life for you, and I choose death for myself. So now I guess the question is, want to trade snacks with a stranger? Except in this story, the roles are reversed, right? You're the one wandering through the dark wilderness with nothing but a poisoned apple as your sustenance. You're going to have to eat it sometime. And Jesus comes along and he has this delicious, tasty clementine. Or should I say, his body and blood broken and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. So do you want to trade, guys? What's the move here? What's the choice? Of course you trade. You choose life. You give your sins to Jesus. You give your death, your evil, your curses, your hell to Jesus. And you get his life, his forgiveness, his resurrection, his heaven. He's taken them all away. Now, every time that you chose death, every time that you chose to give in to temptation, it's gone. It's removed because life has been chosen for you. So now, agree. Agree with what God has chosen for you. Say, thank you. Can I have some more? Jesus has taken your sins away. He's died for them. He suffered for them. They can't hurt you anymore. The only way your sins can hurt you is if you go back to them. Don't do that. Jesus doesn't want to give them back to you. He's taken them. This is a no trades back kind of deal. Now that you have life, why would you ever want to go back to death? Keep receiving life from your Savior, Jesus. He's chosen life for you. Brothers and sisters, choose life. Amen.